Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that begins with understanding and restoring the truth of the Passover day and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Everyone likes to read the verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life." Now that is the correct translation. Because if it is in the subjunctive sense, which it is in the Greek, that means that there are conditions. Whereas the King James says that everyone who believes in him should not perish. Now in the English, should comes too close to shall. Whereas may, in the subjunctive as it is in the Greek, shows there are conditions, and we will see that those conditions depend upon repentance and baptism and you loving God back. See, it's not something that just happens automatically. And you are going to learn the awesome magnitude of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the Passover day in 30 A.D., which day was planned from the foundation of the world and is the central focal point. It's the fulcrum. That's why the Bible is divided into seven divisions. The Law, the Prophet, and Psalms, the first three, then the Gospels and Acts being number four, the middle or the fulcrum, then the general epistles, epistles of Paul, and the book of Revelation. So it is the middle, it is the centerpiece. And of the Gospels, the centerpiece is the Passover. And the Passover day in 30 AD was in the middle of the week, the fourth day of the week, chosen by God from the ages of eternity past to show his love. Now let's come back to John, the third chapter again, and let's read a little more. Let's see some of the conditions that God has given. Now, this is important if we're going to understand the love of God. And because everyone wants the love and blessings of God upon them. But how many are willing to reciprocate and repent and love God and keep his commandments on the other hand? No, we're just like spoiled little brats. We feel we deserve it by the works that we do. What we're going to see is that the sacrifice of Christ and the forgiveness of sin has been so cheapened by the simple little formula that any here in church would like to stand, just look me in the eye and repeat this little prayer after me. Jesus, I know you're Lord. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, forgive my sins. And voila, you have been saved. That is nigh unto blasphemous and does not even give one scintillant of a particle of a degree of the magnitude of what God did on that Passover day to have the perfect sacrifice, being God manifested in the flesh, so that you and all who will repent can have their sins forgiven. And in God's plan, he has a way where he's going to take care of all human beings through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, past, present, and future. So let's read on, verse 17. God did not send his Son into the world that he might judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And the one who believes in him is not judged. Now, the one who believes, this is interesting in the Greek because this is a present tense participle. The one who is believing and continues to believe. Not just believe that Jesus died, but understand why he died. Not just believe that he came to save men, but to understand what he went through. And you are believing in him, and the actual Greek means into, which means that you now, when you're really believing, develop a relationship between you and God the Father and Jesus Christ. And your communication through prayer and study actually brings you into a greater belief. Not just a statement of existence. Let's go on. The one who believes in him is not judged, but the one who does not believe him has already been judged because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, and all the world is judged, and all the world is under law, and all the world is under sin, that they may become guilty before God. And this is the judgment of God, that the light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. And you look at the world, how many really believe in Jesus the way they should? Such a minuscule few, it is just unbelievable. Christianity doesn't. They profess, but they don't do. Do those who believe in evolution believe in God? No. How about those who are agnostic? Well, they're so intelligent that they say, well, we just don't know. Well, does that not make you ignorant if you profess that? Now, God has given his word so you can know, so you can understand. But how many are willing to come to Christ? How many are willing to come to God the Father? How many are willing to come to the Word of God and read where the Word of God is like a two-edged sword and cuts asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart? Now, you need to think on that. What do you really, really believe down deep inside? Have you ever examined your own evilness? Have you ever examined how depraved you are? Because the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Have you repented of that? Did you know Christ died to forgive that? Let's read on. Here's why. Verse 20, for everyone who practices evil. Question, what is evil? Evil is the way of man. Evil is sin. Evil is the carnal-mindedness of men, the deceitfulness of men, and their religions and their governments and their institutions, the way that they live. And they practice evil. They hate the light. Oh, they don't like it. The light of God being exposing their deeds. And does not come to the light so that his works might not be exposed. Now, on the other hand, if you really want to know God, here's what you do. And here is how you live your life. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, means coming to Jesus, so that his works may be manifested that they have been accomplished through the power of God. Is that your life? Is that what you want to do? Let's see what God has done so that you, that yes, you, may have your sins forgiven. Let's see how John in the epistle of 1 John expressed this. The love of God, because there's the love of the Father, there's the love of Christ. And Jesus said, if you live in my love, so shall you be my disciples. Do you live in the love of Christ? Do you live in the love of the Father? Do you understand what God did to provide a sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins? Let's come to 1 John, the 4th chapter. let's understand this. In the world, there are the forces of evil and the forces of deception. And a lot of the deception looks like it's good, but it always ends up in evil. Because it's not based on the Word of God. It's not based on the truth of God. It's not based on faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ, but on human philosophies, human reasonings, and human religions and human laws separate from God. Verse 5, they are of the world, that is, the false prophets and the false Christ and those who deny Christ. Because of this, they speak of the world, and the world listens to them. Now, here's the dividing line, and that dividing line begins with the Passover of 30 A.D., the day that Jesus the Christ died for the forgiveness of sin. And once you repent and are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, there is a dividing line that comes, and you now belong to God. But you don't belong to God if you just profess. You don't belong to God unless you believe. You don't belong to God unless you really turn your life over to Him. You don't belong to God unless you practice the truth, which is the Word of God, the commandments of God. Everything about the Word of God, you see. And remember what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a way to eternal life. So this excludes the human good thought. Well, all religions and all human beings are the same because they're all coming to God only on different paths. Did you know that's going to lead to destruction? Because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Furthermore, he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Let's read on here. Verse 6, here's the dividing line. We, that is the apostles of God and the brethren of Christ, we are of God. And the one who knows God listens to us. And the one who is not of God does not listen to us. Now you think about that for a minute. Do you really prove what I am saying to you and preaching to you? Do you prove it from the Word of God that it is true? And do you listen to the Word of God? See, because here at Church at Home and CBCG.org, and the Christian Biblical Church of God, with our fellowship groups and our offices in many places of the world, we are dedicated to the truth of God, to the Word of God, to Jesus Christ, to God the Father, to preaching the gospel of the truth and grace and coming kingdom of God. We're not concerned with politics. Here, little sidebar, okay? Here's a truism. You cannot solve spiritual problems by human devices and means. You cannot vote in politicians to correct the way the world is going because they don't know God. They do not know Christ. And furthermore, they can't solve spiritual problems. Neither can the religions of this world. The Old Testament says that trying to solve spiritual problems without doing it God's way, Christ said He's the way, the truth, and the life. It's just like daubing with untempered mortar or whitewash. Oh, you can make a building look lovely and clean and white. Just cover it with whitewash. Oh, look at how it sparkles in the sun. But what's beneath it? What's the foundation of it, you see? Now notice, let's repeat this again. We are of God, and the one who knows God listens to us. The one who is not of God does not listen to us. By this means, we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of the deception. So we're right down to the dividing line. And that dividing line is there because God, who is love, has put it there. And the only way to cross that dividing line is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through repentance and baptism, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and living by every word of God. Come down here to verse 9. In this way, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. God wants you to have eternal life. But it's going to be on his terms and on his conditions and according to his word. Always remember the biggest little word in the world, if the conditions are upon us, if we love him, if we obey him, if we serve him, if we believe his word. All of those things are there, and all of this ties in with the Passover, as you're going to see, because you need to understand the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the Passover of God, because that is the central focus of the whole Bible. Let's go forward here. Verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this way, so he wants it clear, in this way, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this act is the love that comes from the Father, that comes from the Son. The love. Not that we loved God, rather that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now let's see what that love entailed. Remember, Christ died at the appointed time, the set time, the set day. That's why we need to understand about the Passover. That's why any sort of commemoration of the death and crucifixion of Christ that is not conformed to the Passover, the Christian Passover of God, on the very day that God has set on his calculated Hebrew calendar, the 14th day of the first month, is a lying counterfeit and is part of the spirit of deception.
Now, I'm holding something here in my hand, and I'm wondering if you can tell me what this is.
Easter egg.
Yes, that's very right. It's an Easter egg. How many of you came to the Easter egg hunt yesterday? That's a lot of you did. And did many of you get Easter eggs this morning? Yes? All right, very good. You can put your hands down. Very good. All right. What comes inside Easter eggs? What's inside this Easter egg?
Candy.
Candy. Yes. Do you like candy? Yes. But you know, there was a big surprise that the first disciples had on that first Easter morning when they found an empty tomb. You know, because Jesus died on the cross for each of us on Good Friday, and on Easter morning he wasn't there. And you know, everybody was so surprised, but then there was an angel that said, "Why are you surprised? He told you that he would be gone. He told you that he would be risen from the dead on the third day." And the third day was Easter Sunday.
Now let's come back here to Philippians, the second chapter. Let's see what Christ did. Let's see what he took upon himself. Let's see what he did. What he gave up, how he gave it up, why he gave it up. Remember, he said, "I lay down my life. No one takes it from me. And I have commandment from the Father to receive it back again." Let's see what God had to do. So here is God, the one who became Jesus Christ. You can read in the book of Exodus that Moses said, "Oh Lord, after the people have sinned and you have forgiven them, please show me your glory." And God said, "No man can see my face and live. But I'll put you in a cleft of a rock, and my glory will pass by, and I will declare my name." And his glory is as the sun shining in full strength. And he's a God of love and mercy and graciousness and truth and righteousness. And he will not justify the wicked unless there's repentance. And he will not hold back the correction unto destruction for the ungodly. Because he's righteous and true and powerful. Let's see what he had to give up to become a human being. All based upon the love of God. Because the Father loves you and Christ loves you. Are you going to repent and return that love and kind? Are you going to repent and obey God? What is it that you are going to do? See, this is why church at home. You're not going to hear these things from any pulpit in any church on a Sunday morning. Well, they may use some scriptures, which they do. They may be sincere, which they probably are, but they're sincerely deceived. Now let's see what Paul wrote here, see. And this tells us what we are to do in response to what Christ has done. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is what we are to develop. God has called us not for the simplicity of a clappy clappy, "Oh Lord, forgive my sins, now you're saved." No, he's called us for a great purpose. He's called us to eternal life. He has called us to be his sons and his daughters. He has called us to now, in this life, with his Spirit, to begin to think with the mind of Christ. Now that is a great calling. That's why all religions are counted as nothing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, because of his love for you, his love for all mankind, past, present, and future, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself. Now, what does that mean? That means Christ had to choose to voluntarily give up his power and glory, to divest himself of his glory and power as the Creator God, to become a pinpoint of life, to be begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit. Did Jesus humble himself? Did he give up everything to save you and all other human beings? Yes, he did. Did he succeed? Yes, he did. Let's read on. But emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men, and took the form of a servant, which in the Greek is doulos, which means slave. He didn't come here all exalted and high and mighty. And we're going to see that he took on human nature too. And yet he never sinned. And that is a great and fantastic and just magnificent thing that God did. And being found in the manner of man, everything that we go through, every aspect of life, from conception to birth to growing up to becoming a man, to preaching the gospel, to eating and sleeping and living and breathing, he humbled himself. And on that Passover day in 30 A.D., he humbled himself unto death, because he loves you and he loves me, and he loves all of mankind. And in God's plan, he's going to save them. But now is the time for you to respond. And became obedient unto death. We are going to see he knew what was coming. He knew how he was going to be beaten and scourged. He knew how he was going to be nailed to that cross. And not the cross that you see in the movie The Passion of the Christ, but the true cross. He knew what was going to happen to him, because every facet of that Passover day, he prophesied what would happen. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of beings in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And that is going to happen. That will happen. Now the question is, as the gospel goes out, as the word of God is preached, as you can listen to it and follow along in your home with Church at Home, are you going to come to the true Savior in repentance? Are you going to be baptized to have your sins washed away? Are you going to enter into the covenant of God, the new covenant unto eternal life? Are you going to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as his personal payment for your sins? That is the question. And all of this happened on the Passover day, 30 AD, the day determined from the foundation of the world, the appointed time of Jesus the Messiah to die. So once again, be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. There is a wealth of information for you. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.